never rests.
Folks, if you're still awake, we appreciate you joining us tonight. This is the Georgia Dogs HQ postgame show. Georgia stuns Georgia Tech, 17-point deficit in the first half. The Bulldogs come back. They win in 8 overtimes, longest game in SEC history. And as always, the postgame show is presented to you by Bulldog Snacks, our friends over at Bulldog Snacks, the official snack of the Classic City Collective of UGA, and a portion of these profits go every single time to the Georgia student athlete and help support the Georgia student athlete through NIL and things like that. But listen, these things are delicious. They're awesome. And right now, Black Friday, any order of $40 or more, you can save 25%. These things are awesome. You got to go check them out. And again, by purchasing Bulldog Snacks, you get a chance to contribute directly to the Georgia student athlete. And those guys found a way tonight, Rusty. It takes what it takes. And I wrote them off 2 or 3 different times, and they found a way.
I think everything in this game, Jake, the odds of Georgia down 27-13 with 4 minutes and 11 seconds, the odds of winning at that point were slim to very slim. And it's really crazy how that happened. You know, they score in a minute 50, get a play, couple plays, turnover with Dan Jackson, get the ball and capitalize. But what's crazy, Jake, is when they go back to tie that game, we still had an hour and a half left. I mean, that's how crazy this thing got with all these overtimes. But to find a way, and I'll say this, you got to give Georgia Tech a lot of credit. I don't care who you are and who you're a fan of. That team fought their tail off tonight. Haynes Key played unbelievable. But at the end of the day, Georgia is a team that knows how to win games. And you can knock them down, but you got to knock that team out. And in this building right here, Jake, is that 31 in a row?
I believe so. I believe that's right.
31 in a row. Yeah, 31 in a row. I think the senior class on paper never lost a game in Sanford Stadium, 2020 till now. So that's a lot. It says a lot about this team. I know I saw these guys celebrating. Kirby Smart just comes right by right here. He's still on cloud nine. You know, that was a very, very emotional win for this team, and who knows where they're going to go. Is this team perfect? It is not. But I guarantee you one thing, this team is, they have not freaking quit. I can tell you that. Yeah, I need some Bowberries. I will take some Bowberries and some Bulldog snacks right now. Some Bulldog snack cookies right now.
So I don't even know where to start. Let's start with the bad. Georgia gives up over 550 yards of total offense. They give up over 300 yards of total offense in the first half. Tech made it look absolutely easy at times. Listen, good coaches get outcoached. Georgia got outcoached tonight for most of the way, and they found a way to kind of get back in it. But starting off with that defense, Rusty, that's still not kind of the norm of what you're used to showing up for a Georgia defense. And played a lot more poorly than I thought. And I think Haynes King probably surprised him a little bit based on Kirby's comments after the game about how he threw the football.
Georgia Tech had 84 offensive plays for 563 yards. If I tell you that before the game, you would bet every ounce of money you could possibly borrow and find that Georgia Tech was going to win straight up money line. They ran 84 plays for 563 yards. Haynes King had 303 yards passing. He had 110 yards rushing. And I said this on the Dogs HQ thread. Jake, you may know better, but I'm not sure.
Looks like we just lost Rusty there for a second. Not sure what he's going to get to there, but you back, Rusty? All right, we're having some trouble down there with Rusty on the field. But listen, what this boils down to for Georgia defensively, number one, the tackling. The tackling, it was again, a very big issue for Georgia. That was a big-time problem for the Bulldogs, and that's something that they've got to get fixed. But then when you look further than that, they didn't have answer for the pass. They didn't have answers for the run. And starting to get a little bit more concerned about the way I was about the offense earlier this year, starting to get about that concern with the defense, Rusty. Actually, we're not able to hear Rusty right now. I'm not sure what's going on. But listen, here we go with this thing. Let's look at a little bit of these numbers here. All right, let's look a little bit of what kind of happened in this game tonight. Now, Georgia was able to get 405 yards of total offense in its own right. Had a couple of short fields there that kind of took away from the yardage. The big thing you look at from Georgia, though, in this game, and the reason it was able to get back into it is Georgia scored six straight touchdowns starting in the second half and overtime. A couple of those were 25-yard fields. I get that. But Georgia, 13 plays, 75 yards, 8 plays, 75 yards to kind of get back into that game. They got the forced fumble, tied the game there with 1:01 left. The defense was able to stop. And then in overtime, it seemed like they just kind of traded possessions, when it came to, kind of who couldn't get through going in overtime or the two-point stuff. And Georgia had so many chances to win it. And it was Tech very rarely there in overtime. Rusty was able to keep Georgia on its heels and force Georgia to make the play. But when it did, even from the 1.5-yard line, Georgia was able to do it.
How about that? How about that? You see that pass interference. There's so many comments about calls. I haven't seen everything on replay. I thought that was a ticky-tack call on the pass interference on Smile Mondin. I think that I'll have to go back and look at the targeting. There are people questioning that play. And I said it in the press boxes, the officiating this year has been pretty rough. And it's been all the way around. But when you get that call and Tech goes to the 1.5, you think, man, there's no way they can't just run this ball in, especially with Haynes King. But I mean, you got to credit Georgia. I haven't counted up the plays, Jake. I think 84 plays. They stopped after overtime counting the plays. So let's go back in and look at the actual play count because it was 153 total plays when it went into overtime, and I believe that's what the spreadsheet says. So we'll go back and look. I can tell you this. Georgia's defense played a hell of a lot of plays, and when they had to have them at the end, they made some stops. They just could not convert on some two-point plays to end this thing, but eventually they got it. I love the play call with putting 20 in motion, and it got all the eye candy on Peanut, Dwight Phillips Jr. I'm in the box. I see number 20 spread out. I said, they're about to run a jet sweep to him. Bobo sends him in motion. Everybody sees 20 in motion and just gives the ball to Nate Frazier, and that was ballgame. I love that particular play call.
Now, obviously, we're talking about a game where Georgia fell behind 17-0, could not run the football. And I think something we learned a little bit, couldn't run it consistently. And I think something we learned in the post game. Injury bug is kind of, eating Georgia on the offensive line again. They're trying to get Ernest Green back, but then Monroe Freeling didn't practice for a couple of days this week. Dylan Fairchild's been down and had to get spelled during that game a little bit. So Georgia's trying to find a way to get healthy on the offensive line here. But listen, I do think that when you start talking about a game like this, Georgia fell behind, 17-0 in this game, and there were some questionable calls. There were some questionable just decisions I feel like that were made in terms of the two-point conversion and all that. But one thing that's really tough to coach into a football team is to kind of be there until the very end. And if there's one thing this team does well, it's not quit.
Yeah, I just asked right before we got on here, one of the support staff guys walked by me and I said, what was that locker room like? He's like, Rusty, I don't know, I've never been in a locker room like that before. I realized that those kids found a way to win. They got to celebrate that. They need all the rest they can get. But don't you know they're going to be a good rest knowing they won that game going into next week? Jake, barring something crazy, Georgia's in the playoffs, but they have got to win this thing next week. This team desperately, desperately needs the rest. And I'm telling you, if they can get some rest, they can be a dangerous team in the playoffs. Are they perfect? They're not. But I don't think there's an alpha team. And, Jake, you and I both have talked about it. I don't think there's an alpha team in college football this year. I don't think there's a Georgia 2022, an Alabama 2020, or an LSU 2019. I don't think that. Georgia's got some stuff they've got to fix. They got some stuff where they're not perfect. But, Jake, you cannot just discount a team that knows how to freaking win. And tonight was another case of Georgia just finding a way to pull it out.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, this team's got its warts, okay? We don't know exactly which team's going to show up next week, but we do know this. They're probably going to drop a couple passes next week. They're probably going to drop a few of them, and you got to keep coming. That was a big deal tonight. So many drop passes. So many drop passes early when you've got a chance to kind of get some big plays and get in there and match score for score early. The fumble by Dominic Lovett, he comes back, catches two touchdowns. There's I get the frustration with this team, and I honestly don't even know what to think about the SEC championship game. But can you imagine as the sprinklers come on behind Rusty right here? He might get got.
See how good? Look out.
Yeah.
You see, I still got it. I'm still quick. Y'all thought I didn't have that heavy, Jake.
That is epic live television right there. That's epic live YouTube. Rusty just almost got caught by the sprinklers. But listen, this is something where – absolutely. And, listen, can you imagine Georgia having to play that game or having to play the SEC championship game if what we just saw now, if this was 1:02 a.m. on Sunday morning as opposed to Georgia actually getting a day to kind of rest on this thing?
Huge deal. And I guarantee Kirby Smart is so – it's so much in with that recovery. I mean, I guarantee you, after they did all their dancing and all that, the first thing he started preaching to guys, you have got to get in. You got to get in the training room tomorrow. And these kids will not go home. They haven't been home. You know, they're going to have to battle it out another week for SEC championship. And it's different adrenaline, man. It's different adrenaline for that game. So, rest and recovery. Get to watch Texas A&M play tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and I'm sure that Georgia is rooting for a 7 overtime game between those two. Whichever one can win it, they would love another 7 or 8 overtime game on that one.
Yep, and Texas A&M's been known to play those types of games. Hey, one more time here, our friends over at Bulldog Snacks, Black Friday, 25% off, I'm sorry, of any order, $40 or more. And listen, if you support Bulldog Snacks, get those delicious cookies, get those delicious bars. And at the end of the day, you'll be contributing to the Georgia student athlete through the Classic City Collective. It's the official snack of UGA and the Classic City Collective. And these things are gluten free. They're awesome. Go check them out, bulldogsnacks.com. Rusty, one more thought before we get everybody out of here.
What a game, man. I looked at you and I was like, am I going to have to revive your heart up there? I mean, your heart was racing. I think everybody in the press box was like, everybody understood, like, this is one of the wildest things that's ever happened in this build. I've been coming to games here since 1984, and I really don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. And I've seen a lot of games where Georgia's lost. I'm about to get killed right here. So I've seen a lot of games where Georgia's lost, but they found a way to win it, man. Unbelievable game. And I will say this, you know, I would be not doing my job if I didn't say Georgia Tech played their tail off. Georgia Tech's impressive in person. They're super, super fast. Those wide receivers are so small, but, man, they're fast. But Georgia found a way to win it, and that's really all that matters. You go on to the next game, and they're going to the SEC championship.
Hey, and listen, I know that everybody sees the inconsistencies out there, and I don't know what team's going to show up next week, but I do know this. Rusty, you mentioned a minute ago, and you said you don't think there's an alpha team out there in college football. I think Georgia can be when it's right, and Georgia's got to find a way to start playing better football, more consistent football, and it can beat anybody in the country. But as we saw tonight, Georgia Tech had Georgia on the ropes; it had them bleeding, and you know you're not going to be able to do that against the teams you're going to face from here on out and survive it.
Nope, but I will say this. I don't know that Georgia's going to face a better performance, dual threat performance than Haynes King did tonight. I'm telling you, that dude put on a show, and he was determined.
He did.
He was just short. So we'll see. But I got to get out of here, man. You're going to get me soaked over here. So unless you want me to melt before we got all this big content all weekend, I got to get upstairs.
There you go, man. Get on up here. All right, folks. We appreciate it. Y'all take it easy.